Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to talk a little bit this evening about the power of God. And if you were to just go out on the street and talk to people and ask them what would be an example of the power of God, or have you ever experienced the power of God? And a lot of times, most people, the thing that comes to mind is things that they can see. You know, things like healings and miracles of the Lord parting the Red Sea, and certainly all of that could at some point in time be an example of the power of God. But I want to talk about the power of God as we experience the power of God today, and how God is exhibiting His power today. If you'll turn to Hebrews, the power of God is no less mighty than it has ever been, and it is as powerful as it always will be. But it's exhibited in a way differently today in the dispensation of grace, and people oftentimes are blinded to that, and they're looking for miracles, and they're looking for signs, and they're looking for physical manifestations of the power of God, and oftentimes they're left doubting God because they're not seeing it, and that causes people to lose faith, and it causes them to doubt even the existence of God because of that. But let's just look at some things in Hebrews chapter 4. Notice in verse 12. Let's move up to verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the word of God here is God's word is powerful, it's quick, the Word of God is the means by which God exhibits His power, and it doesn't matter what dispensation you're in or what. In fact, look over at, while we're in Hebrews, look over in chapter 11. God's Word is the power of God. It is what God uses as His power. In Hebrews 11, look in verse 3. In Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice it says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And there is not a more powerful anything more powerful, if you were to go and ask what's the most powerful thing on earth today, and some people might say it's a nuclear warhead, or they may say a lightning bolt might be powerful. They may say different things are talked about as being powerful. But you think about the Word of God being the thing that formed and framed the worlds. There's nothing more powerful than that. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God framing. In fact, look back over in Genesis and chapter 1, and let's just look at the Word of God. In Genesis verse 1, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 3 starts at, with the phrase, and God said. And if you'll read the rest of Genesis chapter 1, throughout the whole chapter in God creating and restructuring this earth, and God said. It's in verse 3, you'll find it again in verse 6, you find it in verse 9, you find it in verse 11. You find the Word of God creating things. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God didn't have to wave a magic wand around, you know. He didn't have to do like, you know, David Copperfield and, you know, strain and, you know. He just said it. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the power of the Word of God. God's words bring about creation. Amen. God's Word brings about new life. God's Word is powerful. And we have God's Word. You've got it. If you've got a King James Bible on your lap or on the table in front of you, you have the power of God, the God's Word right there in front of you. Notice, turn over to Proverbs and look in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, notice verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Notice the phrase here in verse 6. Out of his mouth. The mouth of God speaks, and we have his word in front of us. These are the words of God. You understand that, right? It's not that this is... A lot of people have the idea that the Bible is a collection of ideas and concepts sent to us by God, and man in all his frailty has tried to contain those thoughts and ideas into words, and we have them here now. That's not what you have in your lap. You have words out of the mouth of God. His words. That's the first, it says here in verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words, not just the word as a whole, but the individual words are the words of God. Yes. That is how precise he is. Notice back in Deuteronomy. Turn back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know what that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Out of the mouth of the Lord. It's his words. When people, when you talk to people and you show them truth in the Bible and they make a statement like, Well, that's not what that word means. Actually, that's a mistranslation. It should say this. Do they believe that they are correcting the word of the Lord? I mean, think about that. It's every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. It's every single word. If you have the Word of God, and people will say this all the time, I believe this is the Word of God, and then out of the next breath out of their mouth, they're correcting it, saying that this word shouldn't be there, and this word shouldn't be there. Well, then it's not the Word of God. If there's mistaken, and I was talking to a guy one time, and he was from the American Bible Society or something, like one of the folks that prints up Bibles and takes them and sends them out to different places, and we were having a discussion about the King James Bible, and he made the statement, you know, I believe that the King James Bible is the best translation. I believe it's the most accurate and most reliable translation. I said, so you don't believe that all the words in the King James Bible are correct? He said, no, mostly it is, but there's just a few places that the translators miss some words here and there. And I said, really? I said, so why don't you then go and change those words and make them right so you can have a perfect Bible? And he didn't like that. You see, it's not God's Word if it has errors in it. If it takes somebody going to a college and learning Greek and learning Hebrew to understand God's Word, then we're all sunk. We might as well go back into Catholicism and depend on the priest for everything. Because we can't study it ourselves. What if this Word is wrong? What if it shouldn't be every word that proceedeth? Maybe it should be every fourth word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, you either believe it or you don't.
Amen. That's right.
You either stand on it as it says it, where it says it, or you just throw it away because it's not any good.
Amen.
That's the belief here. Now, notice back there. Go over to 2 Timothy. And look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage that we should have memorized. If you study and memorize, this is a good one to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Notice the term here, inspiration of God. That inspiration comes to my, what comes to my mind is our word for breathing is respiration. Your respiratory system is what brings about your breathing. God's breathing out. All Scripture is given by God's breath. His spoken word is written down. That's what Scripture is. Scripture, what you have in your lap in a King James Bible, is the spoken word of God written down. And it's written down so it'd be preserved. Because you know what? God also promised in Psalm chapter 12 that He would preserve and keep His Word from this generation forever. Amen. And if God hasn't preserved His Word, then He has lied. Because it's promised in Psalm 12 that He would preserve and keep His Word. So we know then that somewhere on this planet is the Word of God written down in Scripture, preserved for us. And you will find it in a King James Bible. And I believe that because I've read it, I've studied it, and I have studied the other versions, And they don't match up, folks. They're all just no good. I mean, there are commentaries of the Bible better than the translations that they come up with. You'd be better off reading some commentaries than you would an NIV. I was looking at our hotel, and the Gideons, they used to only do King James, but not anymore. Our hotel, it's an NIV. And, you know, I don't know even know why that even makes sense for them. Because if you look in the front cover of an NIV, there's this giant, well, I don't need a pen. There's this giant C with a circle around it. You know what that means?
Copyright.
That's a copyright. So Gideons are having to pay, who is it? Zondervan, I guess, that publishes the NIV. They're having to pay them to print their Bible. You know what's on the, you know what? There's no copyright on this King James Bible. It's public domain. That means you can make as many copies as you want to make and hand them out to as many people as you want to make, and you don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to get permission. That statement in itself proves to me this is the Word of God.
Amen.
If nothing else. But there's a lot else. Now, we've got the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But the Word of God, look, notice over in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, there's something that has to go along with the Word of God in the dispensation of grace for it to become powerful in us. Notice what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Who does it effectually work in?
Believe.
Those that believe. The word of God effectually works. Effectually works. Speaking of Greek, I have a Strong's Concordance. And I can look up that term effectually, the term effectually worketh, and it tells you the Greek word there, if that's true. I don't know if it is or not, but what Strong says the Greek term for, or the word for effectually worketh is energio. Energio. What word does that sound like? Energy. Right? That's what everybody's worried about now, going to the gasoline pump, right? We need more energy. Well, the Word of God, to those that believe, the Word of God becomes energy. It becomes power. When I pay my energy bill, sometimes I call it my power bill. Sometimes I call it the light bill. Why? It all goes together. It all works together. But it works for those that believe. Notice Romans. Look over and take two passages. Take Romans chapter 1 and take 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In Romans chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm using a lot of scriptures, but you got to get your fingers limbered up, because, hey, you're at a Grace Believers Bible Conference here. It's not, you know, a half a verse in a poem and 6 points. So, I'm the warm-up guy, so I got to get you warmed up here. Notice Notice in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, another very familiar passage, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice, to everyone that believeth, it's the power of God unto salvation. If you're here tonight and you've never believed the Word of God through the gospel, it's never worked for you. It doesn't work. I know, I tried. I tried for years to get saved myself through saying the right prayer, you know, worrying if I had enough faith and if I believed enough, or trying to, you know, sometimes it's you want to get saved, but you don't want anybody else to know you're lost, so you're just trying to slip in the back door, you know? And I was there. There may be somebody here. Salvation, folks, is just believing. Believe the words of the gospel. Believe Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Believe the light. Notice what in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how Paul describes it here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let the light of the glorious gospel. And he compares it here in verse 6 to the same thing as what we read in Genesis chapter 1. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that same power of "let there be light," the same power that created the universe and created and framed the world, the same power that made this planet and all the beautiful things you see. We were driving down here and the flowers are starting to bloom on the trees. You know, you see all the different wildlife out on the lake. And you see all that and you know that there's a God. And you know that He just spoke and it came into existence. You know that. That same God, the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, the very moment that you say, "Lord, I believe you died for my sins, and I believe that you rose again for my justification. Lord, I believe that." The very moment you do that, the light of the glorious gospel shines into your heart, and there's something new that's created. That's the power of God. Don't come to me and talk about miracles. You know, my shoulder's been hurting and I went somewhere and this guy laid hands on me. Now my shoulder don't hurt anymore. That's not a miracle. That's a chiropractor. The miracle is Jesus Christ died for you. And if you'll believe it, He will translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yeah. You know, this Bible is amazing. The very first chapter in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. And we read it, and we don't have to turn back there. But the very first chapter, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Do you realize that's how I was one day? I was without form and void, and there wasn't nothing but darkness. I was a child of darkness. Amen. I was without form. I think about water. Water is basically without form. It just forms to whatever is around it. You know? Just like this earth was without form and darkness. And just like when God said, "Let there be light," darkness fled. The Bible says that we're predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. And the very moment that I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was no longer without form and void. I'm conformed to the image of His Son. I'm holy and without blame before Him in love. And I'm that way because God says I'm that way. He said it. He said, Robbie Sipes is righteous. And if He says it, it happens. It's done. It's over. He speaks and it becomes true. Whatever this Bible says is to us tonight, is in Romans through Philemon, particularly to the body of Christ, whatever promises is said to you there, it's already happened. It's already there. Why? Because the Word of God says so. And when all it takes is for Him to say that. And you know, after we're saved, the Word of God, it becomes the power of God. Look back in 1 Corinthians. Look back in 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, I love to come to Bible conferences, and I like going first because then I can just sit down and listen. Daddy was earlier was saying, why can't I go first? Because you're not even good with Jack like I am. But I can sit back the rest of this weekend in the preaching, and I can hear the preaching of the cross. And as I hear the preaching of the cross, I recognize that as the power of God today. That's the power of God. I was talking to a lady one time, and she come in. I was working at a bookstore, and she come in, and she was talking about this church that she went to, and she walked in the door, and she'd been having trouble with her hip or her back or something, and she just walked in that door, and she started feeling tingly in her back, and how that every time she'd go, her back felt a little bit better, and now that she's there, she doesn't have any problems with her back. And I said, well, what... when did you get saved? Let me hear about your testimony. Oh, well, I got baptized years ago. Like, that's no big deal. I want to talk about my back hurt. You see, those of us who have experienced the real power of God, that's what's precious to us. If you come to a Bible conference and your attitude is, oh, he's just going to preach about the cross again, then you need to start looking at some things. If you don't recognize how you view the preaching of the cross. Why? Because it says here that the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. If you look at the preaching of the cross as anything other than the miraculous power of God, then you need to look at this verse. Because it's not foolishness to me. It's the power of God. And as we're here this weekend, we need to be open to what the Word of God has to say. We need to receive it. Look back, we read it before. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. You know, God's will is for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. If you're saved tonight, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And this book should be precious to you. Why? Because this is the Word of God and it is His words. and it effectually worketh in us that believe. And notice what it says again in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Notice, it's something you come unto. It's something that you seek. It's something that you want to find. If your desire this weekend is to seek out the Word of God and knowledge, then you're going to find it. It's going to be here. But you come unto the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't, you know, a lot of people preach and teach that the moment that you're saved, that, you know, you just have all this knowledge now, and you got all this, you stop doing everything that you used to do, and you start doing everything you're supposed to do. But that's just not true. That's not biblical. You coming unto the knowledge of the truth is a process. Salvation is an event. Salvation is a point in time in your life when you believe the gospel. Coming unto the knowledge of the truth is something, it's like driving to Alabama. You just keep going and going and going. Actually, Texas is probably more appropriate for that one. You seek it out. You search for it. Notice it says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's through the Word of God. That's why we have Bible classes and Bible conferences. It's because we need the Word of God. It doesn't go away. And our need for the Word of God doesn't go away once you trust Christ as your Savior. You need to continue coming unto the knowledge of the truth and growing. Paul's prayer for the Colossians, he talked about that he wished that they would come and grow in knowledge, and that their knowledge might abound so that they could do the work that they've been called to do. And this weekend, as you hear the preaching, and as you study the Word of God, rightly divided this weekend, believe the Word. Believe what it has to say. If it contradicts what you've been taught your whole life, believe the book. If it contradicts what your pastor has said, believe the book. If I say something and the book says otherwise, believe the book. Because that's the power of God. That's what we base everything that we know. You know, and the fear of God there, and the fear of the Lord, and notice it says there that then, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. The Bible says back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you know, you don't fear the Lord and reverence the Lord and worship the Lord any more than you reverence His Word. You can't separate God from His Word. You can't say that you worship God and that you reverence God, and then you throw His book away and don't believe it.
Amen.
Don't tell me you love the Lord and you don't love His Word, because you don't. Because the Word of God is the power. It is how we reverence God. This is what we have. This is all we know right here about God. Anything else outside of this book is vain.
Amen.
I said before, if the Bible were to say somewhere that the sky is green, but I look up and I see blue, I'm going to believe green. I might be colorblind. You know? But this weekend, first and foremost, if you have never believed the gospel, if you're here tonight and you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that He died for your sins, you need to do that right now. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to pray a prayer. All you do is believe the gospel. If you're saved here this weekend, believe the book. Believe the words. Don't change the words. Believe the words. And you will grow in knowledge. And you will receive from the Lord this weekend. Okay? Thank you.